Trump. El multimillonario nuevamente salió en defensa de los agresores y criticó al presidente Barack Obama por su visita a Cuba.
El presidente Obama llegó a Cuba y el presidente cubano Raúl Castro no estaba en el aeropuerto para recibirlo. En el pasado, Raúl Castro fue al aeropuerto a recibir al Papa y a otros mandatarios, pero no fue a recibir al presidente de Estados Unidos. Honestamente, Obama debió poner marcha atrás en el avión y volverse.
Ted Cruz, que espera alzarse con una victoria en Utah y frenar así el camino de Trump a la nominación, también fustigó al presidente Obama por su visita a Cuba.
Es muy elegante, muy chic, que los izquierdistas le rindan honores a los despiadados dictadores comunistas. Mientras el presidente Obama esté en Cuba, ¿saben con quién se va a reunir? No se va a reunir con los disidentes, que están siendo torturados por Raúl y Fidel Castro, que son silenciados para atreverse a dar sus opiniones. No se va a reunir con las damas de blanco. Mientras el presidente Obama está ahí en Cuba con estrellas de Hollywood, cantantes de rock, tomando mojitos en la embajada, no estará pensando en los presos políticos que están ahí pudriendo.
Mitt Romney dijo que estará votando hoy por Cruz en Utah y durante el fin de semana hizo campaña por el cubano-americano en un nuevo intento de descarrilar la nominación de Trump. Los demócratas realizarán primarias en los estados de Arizona y Utah como los republicanos, pero además mantendrán asambleas, caucuses, en el estado de Idaho. Bernie Sanders, que necesita ganar estos estados para mantener vivas sus posibilidades de pelearle la nominación a Hillary Clinton, afirmó que un voto por la exsecretaria de Estado no va a traer los profundos cambios que necesita Estados Unidos.
Necesitamos un verdadero cambio en este país. Y lo comento entre nosotros. No creo que el verdadero cambio venga de alguien como Hillary Clinton, que recibe millones de dólares de Wall Street.
Mientras tanto, Hillary Clinton habló esta mañana aquí en Washington en la AIPAC, un lobby pro-israelí que realiza tareas en el Congreso y en la Casa Blanca en favor de mantener una estrecha relación entre Israel y Estados Unidos, y prometió su apoyo incondicional al gobierno de Israel si ella llega a la presidencia. Mañana, más de un centenar de delegados están en juego entre los candidatos republicanos y 131 delegados entre los tres estados en juego para los demócratas.
Tras 2 años y medio presa, el viernes fue absuelta Nestora Salgado, líder de la policía comunitaria de Olinalá en el estado mexicano de Guerrero. Tras permanecer retenida por supuestos delitos no comprobados, la defensa de Salgado logró demostrar ante los jueces que no hubo pruebas de su culpabilidad y, por lo tanto, no había razón para que permaneciera retenida en el centro penitenciario para mujeres en Tepepan. Eduardo Martínez amplía la información.
La campaña que va a lanzar Nestora en los próximos días es por la libertad de los 500 presos políticos que existen en todo el país. Ella ha dicho que la liberación de la cual se está hablando este día, que es la suya propia, es un ejemplo de que la situación en este país pues es todavía de represión hacia los activistas y hacia quienes piensan diferente a los planteamientos que realiza el gobierno. En una conferencia de prensa en donde estuvo acompañada por familiares de otros 9 de sus compañeros que también permanecen detenidos, acusados por los mismos delitos que a ella se le han imputado, ha dicho que continuarán luchando por la libertad, pero también continuarán garantizando la seguridad del pueblo que la eligió como comandante de la policía comunitaria, precisamente ahí en Olinalá, en el estado de Guerrero. Además, recordemos que esto fue, dicen también los comunitarios, como se les conoce en la montaña guerrerense, es debido a la incapacidad que ha mostrado el gobierno para resguardar la integridad de las familias que viven en este estado, azotado por la violencia ligada al crimen organizado.
Escuchemos las palabras de Nestor Salgado ante amigos y gente solidaria después de ser liberada.
A estas personalidades, a muchas personalidades que están aquí, que sin conocerme, aún siendo de un partido, creyeron en mí, y mucha gente sí me va a juzgar y me va a criticar por haber recibido algún apoyo de ellos, porque ellos me fueron a ver a Tepic a visitarme. Yo les agradezco, como les decía, con el corazón, porque cuando hubo gente que no creyó en mí, ellos creyeron en mí, aún aventándose las broncas con la señora Miranda de Wallace, que no se tentó el corazón para acusarme, pero que Dios la perdone. Yo ya la perdoné, pero sí quiero que ustedes me den el apoyo como hasta ahora, para seguir defendiendo a nuestro pueblo, para seguir dignificando a nuestros pueblos, a nuestras mujeres, y que haya respeto para nuestros niños. Había una carta que recibí en la cárcel de una niña de una niña que recibía bullying en la escuela. Me mandó un dibujito donde dibujaba a su maestra sin ojos y ella se dibujaba borrada porque decía que la maestra no la veía, parece que estaba borrada cuando los niños la golpeaban. Hay que poner atención en el bullying de las escuelas. Hay que poner atención en todo esto que está pasando en la corrupción con nuestros niños. No es posible que niñas de 10 años estén embarazadas. No es posible que niños de 7 años sean abusados. Si supieran, cuando yo vi esos videos con tanto dolor de estos niños, me partió el alma. Me partió el alma y mucha gente me pregunta, Néstora, ¿qué te tocó a ti para que hayas salido a luchar? No, señores, no necesite que me tocara a mí. Solamente la sensibilidad y el dolor de ver a estos chiquitos, de ver a esta gente lastimada. Eso es lo que me da la fuerza. Eso es lo que me da las ganas de seguir luchando porque no lo podemos permitir. No podemos permitir estas injusticias. Es horrible, de verdad. Es horrible lo que yo he vivido. Pero también desde aquí quiero hacerle el agradecimiento a la Universidad de Seattle, a Alejandra Gonza, que no se encuentra en sus momentos, Tomás, que no pudieron asistir a esta reunión, pero que me han apoyado algunos, muchos artistas, muchas personalidades. Gracias infinitamente, de verdad, que creyeron en mí. Y estoy aquí demostrando mi inocencia. La inocencia de la que yo siempre hice mención, que yo solamente estaba siendo castigada por defender a mi pueblo. Quiero agradecerle a mi familia y a todos, de verdad, a todos ustedes. Yo sigo adelante con esta lucha porque nos faltan 500 presos políticos y yo voy a luchar por sacarlos. Yo voy a luchar, me voy a sentar donde me tenga que sentar. Si es posible crucificarme, me voy a crucificar, pero yo voy a lograr la liberación de mis compañeros. Tenga que irme a parar a la ONU, a donde me tenga que ir a parar, señores, ahí voy a estar, porque estoy con ustedes en su lucha y en todas las luchas del pueblo, ya sea por las tierras, por el aire, por el agua, por todas las luchas. Yo estaré presente y mi voz estará presente y cuando me necesiten voy a estar ahí, así como pido que cuando yo los ocupe estén conmigo. Felicitas, no te había visto. Los quiero mucho, de verdad es grandioso mirar a todos ustedes aquí. Sé que no pudo entrar toda la gente. Sé que es un espacio que merece estar mucha gente que a lo mejor se quedó afuera. No merece estar afuera. Yo soy alguien que atraigo a la gente, que llamo a la gente a la unidad, a la unificación. Porque solamente así podemos lograr un cambio en nuestro México, uniéndonos y levantando la voz como mexicanos.
De nuevo el periodista Eduardo Martínez.
En esta conferencia de prensa donde también hablaron las esposas de otros compañeros presos, han señalado que el gobierno precisamente tiene ahora la tarea de garantizar, pero también de resarcir el daño que se le provocó a Néstora Salgado después de haber estado 31 meses presa y por supuesto por un delito que no cometió, por estos delitos que no cometió y que al final de cuentas no pudieron reconocerse. Además, su defensa ha dicho que se trata de una situación que tenía más bien un trasfondo político más que un trasfondo jurídico, por ello que la dilación que hubo en la libertad de Néstora, que tuvo en la solidaridad y el apoyo de organizaciones sociales, no solamente de México, sino también de otras partes del mundo, una estrategia internacional la que hubo para que se exigiera su libertad, y además también hubo un panel de la Organización de las Naciones Unidas que se pronunció precisamente a favor de la libertad de Néstora Salgado. La situación ahora se mantiene en calma para la familia de Néstora Salgado, quien ha dicho que regresará a su pueblo, pero antes irá a Estados Unidos. Recordemos que ella tiene la nacionalidad estadounidense para atenderse de algunas afecciones de salud y regresará a su pueblo, a Olinalá, Guerrero, para reintegrarse a las filas de la policía comunitaria de este lugar.
En Colombia el tema de la guerra y sus efectos en la niñez vuelve a visitarse, pero esta vez ocurre al tiempo que se hacen preparativos para dar la bienvenida a la paz. Jorge Millares tiene más detalles.
La oficina de UNICEF en Colombia ha advertido sobre la difícil situación que viven cientos de miles de menores como resultado del conflicto armado que vive ese país sudamericano. A propósito de la recta final en la que se encuentran las negociaciones de paz entre el gobierno y las FARC, UNICEF emitió un informe que da cuenta de las dificultades en las que viven muchos niños y niñas en la actualidad y los retos que quedarían por delante una vez que se alcance la meta añorada de la firma de la paz. Radio 1 entrevistó al representante de UNICEF en Colombia, Roberto De Bernardi.
Bueno, el informe, un llamado de atención a la situación que la niñez del país está viviendo en esos últimos años, sobre todo. Esencialmente son dos los mensajes principales. Un mensaje, evidentemente, es que las negociaciones de paz en estos últimos tres años han efectivamente logrado mejorar de una cierta manera la situación de los niños, de las niñas y de las adolescentes con respecto al impacto del conflicto armado sobre la niñez de Colombia. Por ejemplo, el año pasado, 2015, fue un año donde hubo más o menos 40.000 menores de edad desplazados, y esta cifra es la más pequeña en los últimos 20 años. También con respecto al número de víctimas de minas menores de edad, el año pasado, 2015, fue el año, digamos, menos grave en los últimos 16 años, desde el año 2000. Entonces, hay algo, digamos, para el cual podemos estar felices. Al mismo tiempo, tenemos también que reconocer que el camino para llegar a un completo respeto de los derechos de la niñez sigue siendo largo. Y entonces el llamado es sobre todo a acelerar las negociaciones de paz y llegar a la firma tan pronto que sea posible.
¿Cuánto se ha avanzado en la desmovilización de niños, de menores, de los grupos armados?
Bueno, sobre este tema, digamos, hay varios aspectos que tienen que ser tomados en consideración. El primer punto que me parece importante es que las negociaciones de paz, por lo menos hasta ahora, son entre el gobierno y las FARC, y las FARC no son el único grupo armado ilegal que recluta y que utiliza menores de edad. Segundo, hubo un punto positivo sobre este tema hace un mes, más o menos. Las FARC declararon la suspensión del reclutamiento de menores de 18 años de edad, y por supuesto esto es un punto extremadamente positivo. Al mismo tiempo, del lado, digamos, más negativo, es que hasta ahora, digamos que no se ha logrado un número sustancial de niños desvinculados, y sobre todo en la mesa de La Habana, desafortunadamente, no se ha logrado, digamos, un acuerdo sobre la desvinculación de los menores de edad. No tenemos que olvidar que para desvincular los niños, las niñas y los adolescentes, los menores, no se debería esperar la firma de los acuerdos de paz, sino se debería proceder bien antes para respetar la Convención sobre los Derechos del Niño y las leyes de este país.
Escuchábamos a Roberto De Bernardi, representante de UNICEF en Colombia. Jorge Millares, Naciones Unidas, Nueva York.
En tanto, en California, grupos defensores de los migrantes están tomando medidas para protegerlos de lo que parece ser una inminente ola de discriminación al estilo Donald Trump. Víctor Cordero tiene los detalles.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists.
Ante los inflamantes comentarios del precandidato republicano Donald Trump en contra de los mexicanos, las organizaciones que luchan por los derechos del indocumentado urgen a los residentes legales a que se hagan ciudadanos de los Estados Unidos en campañas que ofrecen información para hacerse elegibles y registrarse a votar.
La campaña en sí se llama Protégete, Ciudadanía Ya, y es habla un poquito más, no solamente los beneficios que vienen con ser ciudadanos, pero también con la protección que le pueden brindar a su familia, dada esa retórica tan negativa en contra de los emigrantes.
Y es que un gran número de emigrantes hispanos y de otros países optan por legalizar su situación obteniendo la tarjeta verde o green card, pero no van más allá en busca de la ciudadanía, lo cual en estos tiempos podría ser determinante.
Si las personas no son ciudadanas, en cualquier momento, si algo pasa, le pueden quitar la residencia permanente, y están hablando tan negativamente que creo yo que es un momento muy importante para que la gente sea ciudadanos.
De acuerdo al Departamento de Migración, el proceso es de que luego de 5 años de residencia permanente, en su mayoría de los casos se puede solicitar la ciudadanía, algo que los activistas recomiendan, pero también advierten que de no hacerlo podría traer consecuencias poco favorables para la comunidad migrante.
Todo lo que hemos ganado, lo que hemos logrado en este país para llegar al punto donde tenemos DACA para los jóvenes y el futuro de DAPA también se puede perder.
Y es que si bien es cierto que no se ha logrado una reforma migratoria, los alivios para estudiantes sí tomaron forma y se sigue debatiendo el plan para los padres de esos estudiantes conocidos como Dreamers, que hoy por hoy viven y estudian legalmente en el país pero no tienen derecho al voto.
Esos programas se pueden desaparecer, y eso es algo que la comunidad, si le importa, necesita sacar su voto, tener su voz. preparada.
Con estas campañas de ciudadanía, dicen los activistas, no se pretende terminar la carrera política de nadie. Tal vez poner una piedrita en el camino de los precandidatos antiinmigrantes como Donald Trump. Pero lo más importante, aseguran, es darle a la comunidad hispana la herramienta más importante para ser escuchados. La capacidad de votar para así poder elegir a sus políticos. Víctor Cordero, Hispan TV, Los Ángeles.
Y aquí concluye esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Agradecemos la colaboración de todas las personas que hicieron posible este programa, el mismo que es producido gracias a las generosas donaciones de las y los radioyentes. Y no te olvides el viernes de sintonizar KPFK en su anual programación de 24 horas en español, empezando el jueves a las 12 de la noche. A nombre de Toshley y de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is the Queen of Caffeine, and we're educating the masses.
You ain't nothing but a hound. Been snooping around my door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping around my door. You can wag your...
And you're tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. Coming up next, it's Bathrobe's Pier's Broadsides, the March 24th, 2016 edition. This show is going to be devoted almost entirely to the struggle in Salinas to resist the Chinatown deportation. And I'm going to be playing almost a wall-to-wall interviews and commentary on this subject. The deportation began this morning, March 24th, around 7 o'clock, according to phone reports I received. And the interviews you're going to hear are from the 22nd and the 23rd, and a little bit from the 24th. I played some earlier stuff from the 24th. But let's dig you into it with a little music, and then we'll get into the interviews and the reports.
Sang to the farmers near and far. Here come the British beating into the the bar. Here comes the pretty sweet nature the bar. One slippery Tory, head now tall. Your manners are nice and all. Turn back, don't be an old hat cat. The right people don't sing like that.
Oh, do turn him down flat.
Uh-huh, that's right, he rode ahead. And to that Tory Paul just said, no,
no, no, no.
When you got to go, you got to go. You can't stand still on freedom's track. If you don't go forward, you go back. You can't giddy up by saying, whoa, and sitting on your status quo.
Yes, teacher, yes, teacher. Yes, teacher.
So students, now your hip, don't stop. Keep stepping to that freedom hop. Although the Tories speak and blow, to keep you sitting on the status quo.
To keep us sitting on the status quo.
When they say, let's stand still a bit, give up some rights, no harm in it. Remember, those are just a trick that did not work in 76.
Now ain't that right, the same old tricks.
The Tories talk, don't be misled, and say what all those others said. No, 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 no,
no.
When you got to go, you got to go.
You can't stand still on freedom's track. If you don't go forward, you go back. You can't giddy up by saying whoa, and sitting on your status quo. Sitting on your status quo.
And that was Status Quo, sung by Barbara Streisand in the musical Pins and Needles from the 30s and revived many years later. So we're going to have a lot of pre-recorded stuff, not early and ancient pre-recorded stuff, which I'm a big fan of as well, and we'll probably get into on Sunday a bit. But I have a lot of stuff, as I mentioned before, from Salinas, some of which I played earlier today, and I'm going to play some of that again. I'm a little pressed for time in making this program, but I think that it's important that people who normally listen to this show be aware of it, and also that they be aware that the struggle is still continuing in Salinas. Every morning, probably, I'm not sure for how long, but I think it's for at least the next several days, maybe the next 2 weeks, authorities are coming in to destroy the Chinatown homeless encampment that has been a traditional part of that Santa Cruz neighborhood for decades, I understand. It's gotten more prominently visible, both with the economic difficulties and also with the fact that the city has taken to fencing off the areas off the street, the vacant lots, that people were using. You're going to hear a lot of this discussed. And that's going to take up a lot of the show. I'm also going to throw in a few other things, hoping on Sunday to give you some unusual critiques of Micah Posner from Tenants, for the at least some two Tenants that I've been advised about, though I've got to make sure that they still want to go on the air. I'm hoping to get more specifics on the cannabis situation in the county, that is to say the current status of the proposed reform of the supervisor's highly restrictive anti-marijuana laws, making it very difficult to grow in the county, which were overturned by the threat of an initiative by the Cannabis Advocates Association, or it's called the Cannabis Advocates Alliance. But and let's turn now, though, to Salinas, where homeless lives are being torn apart and activists from Salinas, even politicians, are rallying around to at least raise the issue verbally, if not stand there with their bodies and challenge the authorities. You're first going to hear my visit on Tuesday to Salinas. I drove over there with freedom sleeper Toby Nixon, who was doing a sort of a guest spot over in Salinas. That's perhaps not the best way to put it. He is a live streamer who who is concerned with monitoring police abuse as well as defending the rights of homeless people. Well, that's one way he does it. And though he's been coming every week to the Santa Cruz event, the Freedom Sleepers 37, that was handled actually by our local homeless folks, as well as by Zav, a long-term, well, and the Freedom Sleeper is certainly a long-term activist. But here's Tuesday in Salinas in Chinatown. Chinatown is an area that's about three or four blocks from, well, no, six or seven blocks from City Hall. It's on the other side of the freeway. And it's, well, you'll hear me describing it in more detail.
All right, well, it's beautiful Salinas. Lots of nice clouds on the horizon. And a private property, no trespassing, Salinas PD sign with a black wrought iron fence fencing off a, oh, I don't know, what, fourth of a block, city block. I'm talking with
Doug Loisel.
And Doug, you work here in Salinas.
Community Human Services.
And you've been to Chinatown a number of times at this homeless encampment. We see some sort of a row of tents, well tarped.
Yeah, yeah. In this field over here, they used to allow camping, and they no longer allow it. What they're doing is they're just sectioning off, you know, portions of Chinatown so that they can reduce the homeless population here. And I think they want to gentrify and somehow bring businesses into the area.
I believe it. We drove by the John Steinbeck Center, where I know 2 decades ago they created the anti-homeless panhandling law once they were putting in the Steinbeck Center in order to presumably make the tourists more comfortable.
I think that's what they've done. The Steinbeck Center never really was probably the economic success that they thought that it was going to be, so they actually recently sold it to CSUMB.
That's
Cal State University, Monterey Bay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, shall we walk?
Yeah, let's walk.
Okay.
Gently, because I'm a slow walker these days.
Yeah, no worries.
So, I mean, I see there's still some businesses down here between the camps, and here's a woman with a sign. I better Shanghai this woman. We're in Chinatown.
I was going to say, no pun intended.
Indeed. Pun intended, actually. And the sign that she's holding says, "Why is being homeless a crime?" is a picture of a man holding up his arms and they're in chains. He has a hoodie, a green hoodie, actually. And she's chatting with someone else. These folks are trying to organize people to walk to City Hall to stand up for an emergency resolution by Councilmember Jose Castaneda, who wants to, I guess, it's, and I'm kind of not entirely clear on this, but I think it's to present the proposal that at least some Chinatown residents will move, by residents I mean folks in the tents on the street, if they're given some kind of place to move to that's as tenable as where they are now.
Because you're home, that's why they're doing that.
And Diana, you are, I just described your sign. Hello.
I'm the leader for the homeless here. I'm the voice for the homeless.
Diana, Doug, Diana.
Hi, how are you doing? Because these people don't have anybody speaking up for them. I've been out here, going to be 2 years in June.
And is your residence here? Do you
yes, I live here. And
which one is yours?
Well, I used to live in a tent, but my boyfriend bought us a little RV back here.
So you're living illegally in an RV?
Yeah. So we're in an RV now, and they're also, we're messing with those two. And these people have nowhere to go. They don't want us here, but then they don't have no place for us. All these laws that you see right here in the black fence, they fenced them off. People used to be, all this right here was never out here. All this that cleared up, cleaned up, it looked nice. But then they started shutting down the lots, and the only areas they have now is all around the block right here. Okay, now.
On the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk. So now they don't want us here.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
So I ran into a couple of workers from Dorothy's Kitchen saying that they've been handing out vouchers and trying to get people relocated into permanent, at least some semi-permanent residences. And I personally, I don't see how that would work. I asked them if they had vouchers, and they said, we're working on it. And I said, are you, is that accurate? I mean, and I said, you know, well, have you been successful? And they said, well, we're working on it. Yeah. So my interpretation of that is that they've not been successful. What's your perspective?
Not. Okay, that's true. I will agree with that because the only way you could get a voucher, they did a housing authority thing where they were going to do, where they were going to draw so many, like 25% only were going to qualify. That's all the room they had. So they went around taking applications, people's names. So then you have to wait. It took, because it took me to get my letter telling me I'm on the waiting list. And it took me almost 2 months to get that letter.
You're on the waiting list.
Yes, but now, okay, but some of these people, you know, some of these people have to wait to be on the waiting list anywhere from a year to 3 years. So they're saying they got vouchers. I talked to a few people today that they got their, you know, they said they got their vouchers. Okay, mm-hmm. But they've been on the waiting list for a long, long time. But I'm glad to say that today I got my letter for my voucher for housing authority.
Trying to get rid of you as a leader, are they?
Yeah, but I'm not going to quit. I'm going to continue fighting. You know, because I made this my mission to help these people. You know, because these people, this is the only home they have. They have everything here. The food, the showers, the clothing closet they have there.
I'm sorry, how long do those vouchers last for?
The vouchers only for 90 days.
Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, and then too, what makes it hard too, when you get a housing voucher for Section 8, there's not too many places to take it. So that you got to keep looking, and you'll be turned down more times than you can count. And it would be nice if they were able to produce a list, you know, of landlords that do accept it. And if they say they can't find one, that's a lie, because they'll go to House of Resources and talk to Juanita, because she has a list of all the landlords here in Salinas that will accept the Section 8 voucher. You know, but, you know, a lot of these people here, you know, they've been on the waiting list. You know, we have people here who are on walkers. That my friend Sunshine over there, she's on oxygen in a wheelchair. You know, so these people count on these showers. They count on getting breakfast. The doctors come here. The dentist comes here. So they have nowhere to put us. They want us out of the Salinas city limits completely. They don't want it in town, period. So if a cop goes by and I'm to sit down a piece of cardboard, they will come up and take it and give me a ticket for it.
And how many tickets have you gotten, Diana?
Well, we haven't gotten none, but the cops do come through here harassing people. The cops were through here the other day telling people, oh, watch out, there's bad heroin going around. You know?
Is there bad heroin going around?
I have no idea. I don't use. I don't use drugs. You know? I mean, I ain't saying I ain't never tried it. You know? Yeah, we all do. You know? But me, you know, I'm out here sober. You know, the only thing, my bad habit is my coffee and my cigarettes.
Just an FYI, there's no bad heroin going around.
We
would have heard about it at the clinic. I run the methadone clinic South Main.
On South Main.
Right. So we got a lot of people coming up from
the
here.
The police are just trying to be preemptive here.
You know, and so, you know, and then the cops come through here and they tell everybody, get out of Chinatown. You're not wanted here. Leave.
And do these merchants care? I mean, I know, are these shops empty? Are there people, businesses in them?
All these are empty. This is the gallery. She never opens the gallery. It caught fire about 5 or 6 months ago. It caught fire. This building right here. Okay, she never opens up the building, you know. And so all these buildings here are all empty. The only ones that are open, the one at the end, it's open twice a month because we do Tai Chi there. I take a Tai Chi class there. Uh-huh. You know, a man comes down and teaches us class.
Will you be using that on the city council today?
I wish I could. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't illegal for me to do that, I would. But I'm scared of the cops. I've never been in trouble in my life. You know? And, you know, but all these buildings, and rumors are, the building at the end where the Puerta Negra right there is, they want to tear that, they want to knock that whole building down. They want to bring it down.
Well, maybe set up a polo field or something.
No, what they want to do, you know, they said they don't want the poor people here. They were too poor to be here. You know, I seen my ex-brother-in-law, Tommy, he comes through here every day, and he has a picture. He's got a picture of what they want to do to these buildings, you know, and it's not right because Chinatown and San Francisco, that's one. This is only the only second one they have. Why are you going to want to tear down all this? You know, what's the purpose of opening up the bar over here where it's supposed to be 24-hour showers and laundry and a resource center day and night? Why are you opening it? So what's going to happen to all these people? Some of these people are not going to want to come back here. They're not going to be able to walk all the way over here.
Well, that'll make sure that they don't have too many people coming to the new resource center.
Yeah, you know, and so it makes me wonder, okay, they got all these grants and donations for the homeless. So if they get rid of us, what are they going to do with all that money? Because they need helping us.
Well, they'll find something to do with it, I'm sure.
For the rich? And like, see, and really, I'm fighting for these people, you know, with all my heart and soul, because these people need a voice. You know, because everything you see that those kids, it's everything they own. That's everything they own. And tomorrow, when they come through here, 6 o'clock in the morning, they're going to have security walking through here. You know, at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Armed thugs who are telling people to leave?
No, they're going to come try to keep the peace. 7 o'clock, bulldozers are going to come in. They're going to start right here on Market from this end to the other end and then the alley. And over here, they're going to have another 2 or 3 weeks left here. But then they're going to come back and do the same. Because when they come through and they do the sweeps, they don't care. You know, they come and they take down everything that you own. You know, so everything they save, like their pictures or medicine or whatever, they lose everything. And this is not the first time, they've lost it more than once. You know, so we have to fight for these people, you know. We have to support these people, you know, because where else are they going to go?
Anna, I've heard from Dr. Castaneda, the council member today. He tells me there's nothing on the city council agenda, but he wants to introduce some kind of emergency measure. Are you familiar with that?
No, it's a first. I've heard them talking about it a bit. It would be a good idea, an emergency measure, you know, because...
Well, the word emergency sounds nice, but then again, we've had shelter emergencies in Santa Cruz. Three of them were declared in the 90s, and it meant absolutely nothing in terms of any impact on people. So
it's true.
You intend to go to City Hall, and you're trying to get people to go. Is anybody interested in going?
Yeah, we're doing, at 3 o'clock, we're doing a rally, and then 4 o'clock, the town hall meeting. So my mission is to get as many homeless as I can up this block. Instead of the first time, we've marched with people from here before, me and Rudy Acosta. And so I want to take as many homeless people from here, march over there, and be the first ones to stand in line for the town hall meeting and not let anybody else in the agenda, let their stuff be put to the side. Let this be about the homeless. I want them to hear the voices of the other people.
Right on.
You know, and that's, you know, I bet you this is Wes. I bet you that's Wes. Hello?
And we'll leave this with
you. I'm right here. Okay, I'm here talking to you. Remember when we did the radio station?
And we've been talking with Diana. Anything you want to say for free radio about this stuff they're doing here?
Oh, I just think that they should declare a state of emergency in the city of... Chinatown community, because the people that are here in this community have created a bond. They've created like a family. It's kind of safe for them, and I just think that San Jose is kind of repenting right now for, in a sense, repenting for breaking up the biggest encampment, the jungle in 2013. They're saying that, you know, they can't find a place for the people to go, and now they're asking people in their community for nonprofit organizations to come in and do a legal encampment. So they shouldn't break this up. They should form it into something that is more safer and healthier if they think that it needs to be, and they should form it into something that is more acceptable by the city of city of Salinas. I don't think that they should be causing these people to scatter throughout the city and throughout the community.
You live here?
I don't live here, no.
It's like coming over from Monterey, maybe?
I'm coming over.
I see by your T-shirt that it says Poor People's Movement of Monterey County. How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this since last year before someone called me. I'm an advocate, a homeless advocate, and disabled persons advocate. So someone called me that they were doing the sweep, talking about doing an ordinance, so I started coming out to the city council, to city hall meetings to
try
to...
You know what's actually expected on the agenda? I mean, it's not on the agenda, but you know what Castaneda is planning to introduce?
I don't know what Castaneda is planning to introduce, but I do know that the city, from what I understand, the city is supposed to do a sweep tomorrow. A cleanup is what they're calling it. Tomorrow at
clean out, you mean?
Cleanup.
Clean out.
But it's really a sweep. Yeah, but they're calling it a cleanup, and they're saying that it's going to be tomorrow at 7. And because we're doing protests and we're trying to stop that from happening, I think someone said they may be doing it on the 24th at 7. But they're going to keep shifting until they keep damaging the people here. Even San Jose has realized that it is a bad thing to scatter them, and they need to bring them
together. Talking about it, I'm not sure how much they realize it.
Yeah, they're quoting it in the papers and stuff like that. But also San Francisco, because if they could spend $5 million for the Super Bowl, get ready for the Super Bowl. Board of Supervisors in San Francisco has said he's going to propose something that they do something within the next 4 months, and he's going to propose that they declare a state of emergency. And I've been asking the board of directors here to declare a state of emergency.
What's happening in Monterey? Is anybody doing diddly squat there?
Monterey is not really doing anything. No, Monterey is not.
Yet here you are in Salinas. Now, why aren't you? Are you doing work at Monterey?
I work at Monterey and Salinas, and we have quite a few people in. The good thing is we have quite a few people everywhere working to hold up the fort and help with the homeless conditions. The thing is this is one of the largest encampments between Los Angeles and San Francisco here in Chinatown. So when they start messing with the biggest group, this group doesn't just scatter throughout Salinas, it scatters throughout the county, and they're already scattering. When they did the encampment, when they did the sweep in October, they scattered all over Monterey and everywhere. So I help them every Wednesday, feed them in Monterey with another group of people, and I help on Saturdays, and I do the homeless church on Sundays in Monterey.
Your name is?
My name is Miriam Smith. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're going to, I guess, wander up the street, try to make our way to City Hall, where supposedly in about 10 minutes there's going to be a rally, right?
Yes. From the City Hall. So
is anybody there?
Not yet.
But
so
we're expecting thousands.
Well, I don't know how many people will show up. We put the word out to all people all over. So I know I have about 10 people that are showing up. So.
Good. There's three of us, or two of us anyway.
Yeah.
Three, I guess.
And we hope that we can reach the hearts of the people that call themselves the leader in the community. But it seems like they're only concerned about people that have money. They're not concerned about the poor people. I mean, Monterey County has the highest divide between the rich and the poor in the whole state of California. And we know that they can legally discriminate against housing here. People can't get into housing, and they put people out easily, even when they have sicknesses. So, therefore, you know, they don't care about anybody but the people that have money.
If they have money, why should they?
Exactly. So we need a new regime in the city of Seaside, in the city of Salinas, even in Monterey. They need a new regime. They need new mayors, and they need new council people that care about everybody.
We need a whole new system as far as I'm concerned. But we've been talking
to Miriam Smith.
Thanks, Miriam. You got a card that I can exchange cards with you. Doug Lozell again. Doug, you're pointing to the Sui Sing building?
Oh, I was just saying that, this area in the 50s, 60s, and 70s used to pull in a lot of persons from Fort Ord, a lot of the military. And so there was a lot of, there were bars down here, and people, I think they could take the train down here. And you can see there's, restaurants,
Sorry,
bars,
Republic,
pool hall.
Aris Pool Hall, La Puerta Negra.
Right. These areas, the fenced off areas, used to be full of
businesses.
Encampments, since I haven't seen it, I've never seen it like this, where the encampments are all out here on the street, because they used to more or less be pushed in the fields, and
there ain't no fields no more.
No, but there are wrought iron fences, so.
Well, America's good fences make good property value.
Right, right. And this is Dorothy's place here.
Okay, so I guess see what people are saying here.
There's actually.
So you're pointing now, Doug, to the Asian Pacific Center, which says no trespassing, and Jesus saves victory.
They do have a number of beds in here. You want to walk inside?
Okay. And we leave the one-way street to check out the Victory Mission. Breakfast every day at 7 a.m., dinner at 6:45.
must have picture ID to register for a bed at Victory Mission, says the sign. Acceptable ID would be state ID, state driver's license, green card, resident alien, military ID card, passport, Mexican consul card, or Department of Correction card.
This is one of those places that I was just telling you are on the wane, where you have to sit through.
Hey, Wes. City Hall. Yeah. Wes? Do you want to City Hall now?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to come with me to City Hall?
Yeah. Well, I'll follow you.
All right.
But if you want, you might want to just sense.
So we're walking out onto something street. It's the end of Soledad Street. And a lot of places where people are living here. A couple guys hanging out. Wow. I'm counting.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Hey, we're coming right back. Be right there. You want to go there and talk to... I don't know.
I there's really not a whole lot to see.
This is the Victory Mission guy has come out to see us.
Yeah. The upstairs is where all the beds are, and then downstairs they have a little chapel area.
Can you tell them it's the gift go inside? Forget it.
I'll talk to them.
Yeah, okay. But again, I was counting the number of blue tarped tents, each of which seems almost completely enclosed, and they're about, 4 by 5, and about 4 feet tall. Some of them are taller, some of them are bigger, some of them are longer. I count 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, and I figure, 20 on the way, 55. Anything you want to say for free radio? I'm from Santa Cruz from Free Radio, and going to this protest stuff.
We really don't have nobody and nowhere to go.
What's your name, man?
Frank.
And Frank, how long you been here, or are you
just visiting? I come and go.
Right. You have a place
I've been here before.
Yeah. You have a place you're crashing at here now?
Or? Yeah. Here and there.
Is your place about to be removed, or are you safe?
All of us.
What are your intentions? Are you guys thinking you're going to move along? You're going to hang here? Going to arm yourselves with AK-47s? What's the answer?
No, nothing like that, man. I guess we're all going to be back because, of the showers and the food, and Dorothy's.
Is Dorothy's helping in this situation? Or what are they doing?
Well, they feed us, lunch.
Are they standing up against this eviction? Are they saying,
I really don't know.
What do you know, Doug, about this? By the way, this is Doug.
Hi, how you doing?
And I forgot your name. Sorry.
Frank.
Sorry, Frank. Do you have any sense of whether Dorothy is any position on this? Dorothy's place.
I think the CEO is Jill Allen, I believe. And I think she's, fairly upset about the whole situation. She's the one that's really pushing. If you see on the other side of Soledad Street, you can see the health
clinic
they're setting up there, and she's a significant part of that. She understands what the issues are, and that if you disperse these folks, then essentially the problem isn't solved. It's just dispersed. It becomes less safe. It becomes people become more isolated. They get moved further away from essential services, and I think that it's a really poor way to manage a situation. It's very short-sighted.
And your thoughts, Frank?
Also, there's a lot of, people who has...
We do in the head, so to speak.
Yeah.
And people are probably not in the best of spirits at the moment either.
Right. Actually, always, just like that.
Very good. What do you think of Dorothy? You already told me you thought Dorothy's place. I'm concerned about whether there's going to be solidarity to defend these encampments. I don't think so.
I want to go to the rally, see
the
back him up.
Well, thank you, Wayne. We've been talking with
Frank.
Thank you, Frank. Should be on Free Radio.
Free Radio.
I'll give you a card.
Take it easy, Frank.
You too.
If you ever get to a computer, it's archived. This is Free Radio stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. if I should get back to my car. You know, started on Sunday. So we're talking with
Douglas Dunn.
Like you say, you've begun a hunger strike?
Hunger strike / fast. Started around 12 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
And what purpose of the hunger strike, the objective?
To support the homeless and the poor in Salinas and Monterey County, and to stop the city from removing the homeless and the poor from Chinatown, Salinas.
And who knows about the hunger strike except for everybody in this van?
My wife, we were at the Board of Supervisors this morning. I told the Board of Supervisors of Monterey County what I was doing. The mayor of Salinas, Joe Gunter, knows. The assistant manager knows, Jeff. And all my friends and family support me on Facebook.
Have you done this before?
No, it's my first time. I've never done this before.
Are you hungry?
I'm starving. I'm weak.
I won't offer you any corn nuts this time.
I'm weak and I have a big headache and I'm very weak right now.
Drink a lot of water.
Yes, sir.
It's Robert's orders.
Yes, sir.
All right. Anything happening today that hasn't happened before? Anything you've noticed today that you want to comment on?
We went down the back road here, and we see people are starting to pack their stuff and move away, move out of the area. We don't know where they're at. So that's kind of disturbing. A lot of people are disabled, and they, I don't know how they're going to get out of here just with a backpack. And so there's so much stuff. There's so many things they have to pack up, you know, their tents and all their clothes.
You can only actually be free from confiscation for stuff you're carrying?
Whatever you can carry in your back, and then the rest will be stored in these big metal barrels for 90 days. After the 90 days, they have the right to toss them.
And where are these metal barrels located?
I have no idea. That's what we asked our assistants. City manager, what do we need? Plastic bags and name tags to tag each person's stuff with their name on it, ID them, and he couldn't tell me the specifics. And then I asked him, can I volunteer to do this? He said, no, we hired somebody. They hired a contractor.
But the contractor hasn't bothered to tell them how it's being done.
Nope. They have no idea.
They're not telling you.
Yeah. I asked them a question. What exactly are they going to do? And they could not tell me. And the mayor's standing right there at the coffee table. Me and Wes White had a meeting with them, off-end meeting. They invited us for coffee, and they couldn't tell us specifics of how they're going to do this.
Well, at least you got coffee, right?
No, I stayed with my water, and Wes stayed with his thing, you know.
Good for you. So, good luck with the fast. When I eat, I will be thinking of you, perhaps. We've been talking again with?
Douglas Dunn.
Thanks, Douglas.
Thanks a lot.
Good to see you. At least you got something to eat in Santa Cruz before you started on your fast.
Yeah, yeah. I have to make a decision today whether I'm going to stop drinking water and Gatorade and let the city council know this, you know, with their next...
You go off water and you very quickly start damaging yourself.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But it's a crucial point, you know. It's a make or break. Either they stop this and repeal this ban or this ordinance, or I'm going to go further with my... hunger strike. Fasting.
I'll be talking to you over at the protest. Well, I'm about to interview you right now. We're talking with...
Hi, my name's Gregory Valley. I'm just a commercial truck driver. And I'm from Salinas, California, where there's a lot of misappropriations of funds going on, misallegations and crimes of so-called injustice and comparable with the justice system. In my point of view, and understanding what legal terms of what's legal, illegality, and so-called what's injustice is a fair wage for humanitarian purposes of people to earn a living, and lack of jobs because of so-called Census Bureau of so-called immigration reform that needs to be addressed to the public because of so-called rich, wealthy land loan owners who agriculture and so-called make a living on people who are from a different country. Well, it's getting to the point where citizens in this area can't even earn a living because police department, state officials, and people involved in land management classify insects and animals in higher priority compared to humanitarian laws. And what's welfare reform in a society where the so-called wealthy landowners and people who own stock and stocks in Dow and Jones are more valuable than humanitarian purposes and people who are human and poor? Does it make it a crime to be poor? In my point of view, it's not.
How long have you been here in Salinas?
Well, I was born here, unfortunately. And to say the least, I'm just a human. A poor human at that, because of so-called injustice of so-called what's a Justice Department. And in some instances, what they use for so-called evidence and mislabel as a controlled substance is an example of how the justice system is so corrupt compared to people that want to line their pockets with little league funds comparable to PAL and police departments who are involved even breaking the law because of they can't even make ends meet. They got to break the law to make ends meet as well. So-called by ammunition smuggling is another example of what how really poor this area is compared to San Francisco in the same jurisdiction of what's labeled California.
Now, have you been homeless yourself?
Yes, I have. I am currently homeless.
And what's your story? Are you currently in Chinatown?
I'm currently sleeping on the streets away from Chinatown because I have, I have 10 years of sobriety of staying clean and sober in what's mislabeled as a controlled substance. I have a horrible life story of a disease that I had to face by the criminal.
Chinatown has a lot of drugs, so it's difficult to be there.
Unfortunately, people thrive on diseases and so-called allegations of what's a controlled substance compared to CIA covert operations of what's stocking the pond, so to speak, in a society that's bent and twisted on what's misallegations of labeling medicine that's used for medicine purposes comparable to an actual anesthesiologist who earns $200,000 a year.
Let me give you some final words. What are you hoping to do here today?
Well, I'm here to just speak my piece and be, taking heed to exactly how far the justice system is willing to treat people unfairly in an inhumane sense of understanding of what's legal, comparable to third world countries who get more attention than people in America because of somebody's lining their pocketbooks with misappropriation of taxpayers' money and what's legal terms of fair housing, a fair wage, and even what the justice is of mislabeling so-called medicine, an uncontrolled substance, and human warehousing and enslaving people for people's pharmaceutical needs as guinea pigs and turning men into having breasts in the prison system.
Well, we'll leave it there. And again, we've been talking with
Gregory Anthony Valley, just a commercial truck driver, slave to commodity, and currently unemployed and homeless.
Thank you, Gregory.
Thank you.
So we're talking with Grant Hill, who's going around signing folks up. I'm from Santa Cruz.
Okay, excellent.
With the Freedom Sleepers. And
perfect.
What make you with this yellow tablet?
With this? Is that what you're saying? Oh, with this. Okay. Well,
it's a yellow legal pen.
I've been instructed to collect all the contact information of anyone here that's interested in supporting the cause throughout time as we start moving forward. It sounds like they're going to start having meetings on Friday at 2 p.m. over at the Chinatown Learning Center.
After everybody's been driven away from their homes.
That's the location in argument right now is in regards to the Chinatown cleanup, where essentially anyone that resides there, their property will be removed pretty soon here, without their permission, might I say.
How long have you been involved in this whole thing?
Actually, for less than a year, being a social work student over at CSUMP, I'm involved in an internship or a field placement in an agency that provides services for individuals who are homeless and living with a mental illness. That's how I became involved with this topic as well. And social justice is a big component of social work.
And were you here for the last cleanup, which allowed people to return?
Unfortunately, no. I did not observe or witness that.
I mean, I don't even know if that's true, but that's what I heard.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
What's happening in Monterey with homeless folks?
Unfortunately, it's probably about just as dire as the city of Salinas. I know homelessness in general in Monterey County is kind of perceived as an illegal act, which is unfortunate, and in many ways a human rights violation.
Now, have you observed any of these violations yourself personally?
You know what? That's a great question. Just watching individuals get displaced or moved from where they're trying to sleep or seek shelter, I would say that that's a human rights violation.
When did you last see that?
Oh, I see it around all the time. I mean, that's a portion of the law enforcement process at this moment in these cities. Yeah, in Monterey as well. Grant Helm, H-E-L-M.
Thanks. Gathering together here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you get a bit in.
How's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Really?
Yeah, realistically, for fun. But hopefully, people will get together eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe our grandchildren.
The only thing we come to is we have a reasonable request to file analysis. We hope that they
you're the man with the bullhorn, anyway.
We open.
They're the folks with the bullshit.
Yeah. Let me. Funny?
Yeah, you probably can hold the mic.
Yeah.
You want to.
Let me
greet you one second.
Right?
Yeah, okay, all right.
Let's go ahead and get started.
Everybody,
here.
Before we
get started, we want to give everybody.
Get everybody right up here. Everybody gather around.
We want to give everybody an overview, an idea. In the final analysis of where we are, and basically what we're going to ask for, you know, we're pretty much at the mercy of the people, and we're just going to ask for a simple, reasonable extension. And can everyone hear me?
Yeah. Anybody?
We're under their mercy, and so we're going to ask for a reasonable extension. That extension is pending the start of the, what do they call it? Transitional housing, the homeless shelter that they promised to give to us. There's a strong sense of hopelessness down here in Chinatown. You're talking about close to 300 some people. And wow, just look at each other. You know, I live down there, so I know what it is. Come time to do the sweep or to get out of here, give us a couple of months. You know, let that project, you know, get started. Give us a couple of months. We'll gladly leave.
Yeah,
we'll gladly. You don't have to do no sweep. This is what we're going to ask these people to consider. Because we know we got somewhere to go. We know that the city cares about us, that they're trying to help us. They're not just kicking us out of here. And the alternative, that's what we're going to be talking to them about. You know, so that's, I'm just giving you that overview of where our head is at. And anybody can speak out on this. Anybody has any ideas? Any more comments related to this? Just the more than the fact that it's reasonable. We would like to have that. Then do so.
My name is Tony here, and I just want to know, has this been an ongoing situation? An ongoing situation? Is there any underlying issues?
Okay, Tony, could I answer that question and then say a few things? Tony's question was, has this been an ongoing thing, right? Yeah, this. And I think the answer to that, the short answer to that question, yes, it's been an ongoing thing. Specifically, in the last 3 to 4 years, the city brags about the fact that they've conducted over 52 so-called cleanups, where they've displaced hundreds of people, destroyed probably thousands of items of personal property belonging to homeless persons.
Irreplaceable items.
Personal items, keepsakes, photographs. William's mother. I think your mother, grandma.
My mom.
Yeah, William's mother's photograph. The only photograph he had of his mother, confiscated and thrown into a dumpster by the city of Salinas. This is the kind of disgraceful conduct that we're out here organizing against. So let me say a few things. First of all, for those who don't know, my name is Anthony Prince, and I am I wear two hats here today. One hat is I'm lead counsel for the case of Rita Acosta versus City of Salinas. I represent seven named plaintiffs. William Silas here is one of them. We sued the city of Salinas in federal district court. We filed suit in November of last year. Unfortunately, we've been unable to persuade the court up to this point to issue a temporary restraining order against the city's enforcement or continuation of these sweeps. Most recently, I was in court on March 14th, and I argued to the judge that this temporary restraining order needs to be issued, that we're looking at imminent harm. Unfortunately, the judge found that no harm had yet occurred because he was convinced by the city that the ordinance itself would not be implemented until tomorrow, the 23rd. So I felt that the judge was not, his ruling was not in line with the law on that point, and I'm not hesitant to point that out. However, what the judge did leave open was that if we can put together the evidence of the harm, and we know that there is harm. I just found out now from Diana that we have at least two people in the hospital who are suffering a near breakdown, extreme stress, at the prospect of being kicked out of their community in Chinatown. And make no mistake, it's a community. It isn't just a ramshackle bunch of tents and people living in squalor. That's a community. That's a community. Doesn't have the same problems
city-wide.
That communities across
city-wide,
the country have.
Right?
Of course it has the same problems.
City-wide.
You open the doors and windows to homes across this country, you'll see the same problems you see out on the street in Chinatown. It's the city that put people on the street in Chinatown.
I believe in rights of humanitarian laws and stipulation of what's justice under the penal codes of what's welfare and what's reform and what's pursuit of happiness. I understand that the situation of Salinas is an ongoing investigation on people and jurisdictions of policies that need to be addressed about humanitarian rights that Americans are supposed to have, that are being stripped away because of the so-called misallegation of breaking the law for not having a dollar in your pocket because of economy, cost of living, and fairness, fair wages.
Let me address that for a minute. We know that this is true. We know that they're not just coming after homeless families and homeless people because they don't like homeless. That's not it. It's not. This is not about the mean city of Salinas versus the helpless homeless. That's not what this is. We know that that's prime real estate down there. We know that they make no secret of the fact that they've had a plan in the works for some time to revitalize the community. They have the artist's rendering. They have the architectural drawings. They're going to build. They're doing this all over the country. They're going to kick out poor people to make way for these wealthy developers, condominiums, brand new retail and commercial development. That's what time it is in America today. There's a war against poor people because every community is competing. The cities are competing against each other. Who can create the most favorable so-called business climate? And when they say create favorable business climate, it means get rid of poor people. That's what it means. Okay? So we have to understand what's at stake here. It isn't just that Joe Gunter's a mean guy. It isn't just that the city council is callous, and of course they're callous. There's forces behind what the city council's doing. And that's why when we file the amended complaint, we're going to add some new defendants in this case. One of the defendants I'm looking at is Mid-Peninsula Corporation, which is planning to build a building on the corner of Lake Street and Soledad Street, which will displace significant numbers of homeless people. We're going to find out just how closely allied they are with the city. We're going to find out what connections and what influences back and forth there might be. I haven't made that decision yet, but I'm looking at them as possible defendants in this case.
What about all the grants that they've applied for on behalf of us homeless folks?
You know, it's funny that you should mention that, because another group of people we're looking at to possibly add to this lawsuit are people, I call them the so-called homeless service providers. Now, we have some genuine homeless service providers. We have some people who truly care about people in this community, and many of them are with us right here today. I want to single out the students from CSUMB who have been down there in the trenches doing some real work, some real support work. But there's others whose motives are questionable.
Yeah.
There are others who had a chance to stand with the people against the city and decided to instead become agents of the city of Salinas in this process. They have signed on to documents. They are listed in official city notices. They are part of the actual implementation of the destruction of the Chinatown encampment. So we're looking at possibly adding them as defendants. They didn't put themselves, I didn't put them in the defendants column. They put themselves in the defendants column. So what we're saying here today,
$1,000 grant that they got. At the time, there was only maybe 150 homeless people there. They could have given each and every one of them $10,000 and sent them on their way, and they just still had money left over.
Well, we're going to find out what happened. We're going to find out what happened, because we think that there's a real possibility of resources that have been misallocated.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get the evidence. Now, I want to point something out to everybody, and that is this. You know, this is a battle, and in a war, you win some battles and you lose some battles. And we're losing this battle. I'm not going to get up here and tell you rah, 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 and let's get down there and let's do this and let's do that, because we're in a very difficult position here. We've been out-policed, we've been out-moneyed, we've been out-politicked, and we've been out-mediated. You know what I'm trying to say? This is a difficult position that we're in. Let's be honest about it. Let's realize that this is a war. And the first order of business when you're at war is to form up some kind of general staff, is to organize some kind of leadership body that understands what's at stake and what's going on. All right? And that's the stage we're in. And we've made tremendous progress.
Are you talking about a general staff? Is there monetary there to form that?
Is there money?
To form that, because nothing
I don't,
can be formed unless...
Okay, well, that's a good point. We need all the help we can get, but so far we've been able to pull a general staff together without funds.
Yeah.
We've been able to do it. What do we have to show for the last 6 months? We pushed back and stopped them for 6 months. We have not wasted our time in those 6 months. The number one thing we did, the most important accomplishment, is to form up the Salinas Union of the Homeless. I have over 100 names. I have over 100 names of people who signed up to become members of the Homeless Union. All right, people in not just in Chinatown, but in homeless encampments all over the city of Salinas. If they break up Chinatown, if they can send people hither and yon, if you have a union, then you have a possibility of surviving. That's the whole point of the union movement. The union movement had the idea, if you fight the boss by yourself, you're sure to lose. Mm-hmm. But if you act cooperatively, if you act in concert with your fellow workers, then you have some muscle. Mm-hmm. Then you can bring that employer to the table, and you can push for essential basic rights. That's what we're saying now, that the homeless union has formed here. You know that the whole country is watching what's happening here in Salinas. The whole country is watching the formation of the homeless union. The whole country is watching something historic, and that is that for the first time, people are saying, we'll speak for ourselves. We don't need someone to speak for us, even me as the attorney. I'm just part of a movement. I'm not the spokesperson. I'm a spokesperson, because by forming a union, William Silas and Rita Acosta and Van Gresham and all the others, that you guys are time-tested leaders, are saying we're going to strike out on our own independently. Now, what we need is I need to go back into court and show the judge the harm that's occurring. And I need you to help me do that. When you hear stories of people who are now in the streets, unable to get access to food because it's difficult for them to get back to Dorothy's Kitchen, when you hear stories like we just heard of people who are in the hospital because of the stress of having their encampment broken up,
or in jail.
That information, I need to have that information as soon as possible so that we can make formal declarations, so we can submit formal documentation to the court. And next time when we go into court, I'm going to have a stack of evidence, a stack of affidavits and declarations to convince the court that it has to act, it has to intervene and stop this policy. Now, I'll finish up with this, and then we have some other speakers. I think today, our mission, as William said, I think it's appropriate to go in there and ask, or to demand, maybe that's a better word, to put on the table, what is the rush here? Why is it so important to clean out Chinatown in 30 days? Why can't some alternative housing be provided? I think that's a legitimate question. That's a legitimate position to take, and it's a reasonable request to make. Mm-hmm. We've already asked, I'll share with you, I've already negotiated or sat down at the table with the city and said, can you not put aside a piece of land? You're going to move all the possessions belonging to homeless people out to a 5-acre site. Why not let people erect their tents there? Why can't they allow camping with their own possessions? You know that they want homeless people to take their possessions and put them in a 96-gallon garbage can? Did you guys hear about that on the news?
Yeah.
I find that insulting. I find that disgusting. I find that to be emblematic of the city's attitude towards the possessions of homeless people and homeless people themselves.
Misery loves company in that way, in a lot of ways.
So I'll finish by saying this. Martin Luther King, 1 year before he was assassinated, said something very important. And what he said was, only in the darkness can you see the stars. And we're looking at some dark times here in Salinas, but the stars are coming out. I'm surrounded by these stars. Let's all give ourselves a round of applause.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
These are the stars that count. But it's not going to be enough just to meet out here and have rallies and shake our fists and get mad. What's going to be necessary is for us to continue to organize. So every Friday at 2 o'clock at 23 Soledad Street at the Chinatown Learning Center, we're going to continue to have meetings of the Salinas Union of the Homeless. Everyone is welcome to these meetings. Everyone. Of course, the homeless themselves, but all supporters, all people who are one step away. Students, professionals, clergy, lawyers, law students. We want them all down there. And by meeting every single Friday, sometimes we'll get a lot, sometimes we won't get that many. But we'll be consistent. We'll be consistent, and we'll build the kind of movement we need. All right, so, William, you want to go ahead and say a few things? All right.
I want to, when we address... Hold on. Hey, push it there, push the button. When we address the board with respect to what I was talking about earlier, but it's about what we need. Don't let them just trick you and talking about the squalor that we live in, surrounded by rats and all that kind of stuff. We are all aware of the condition of where we are. You know, the only thing, the best thing that we can hope to do is improve it. Come up to standard from where we're looking at right now, and we have the ability to do that. We have responsible-minded people who can do that. You know, so don't let them get caught up and let them get you caught up in the condition of Chinatown. You know, we know what our conditions are, and we were responsible for cleaning that up. You know, and during that period, when the transitional housing, the homeless shelter is being built, we can concentrate a lot of our energy and our time on doing that. You know, if we live in squalor, you know, or whatever, you know, let's clean it up. You know, we got a responsibility in this too. That's not just okay. Wow, we're not giving you. We don't want a handout. We got a responsibility in this process too. You know, and let it be known to the members of the board that should they grant us this request, there are certain responsibilities that we have. Sure, we're aware of the condition, but we're talking about need. Please bear that in mind.
My name is Jason Robert Carl Sherry, and I encourage every homeless person to register to vote. Don't think because you're homeless you have no political power, okay? I will register you for free and no problem, all right? Register to vote.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've got to make an important announcement. Can I get it back from you for a second? All right.
I appreciate that everyone's out here this afternoon. Tomorrow morning, I've heard 7 o'clock, I've heard 8 o'clock, but we perhaps want to err on the side of caution and be there earlier than that. Tomorrow is the day that the city has determined they're going to begin the destruction of the encampment in Chinatown. We want as many people as possible to be down there tomorrow morning. I know it's a lot to ask, but if you can be down there first thing, we're going to be arriving at 6:30 a.m., but anytime you can get down there. Mm-hmm. We need to resist as best we can. And what does that mean? That means being witness to what is going on. That means making certain that no one is manhandled. That means making certain that nobody's property is destroyed. That means making certain that people are treated with respect. And that means that if someone is determined and cannot move and will not move, that we support them in every way that we can.
Numbers.
Video.
Talk to somebody. Get somebody. Bring somebody. Numbers.
Right. So we
numbers.
That's it. So we're all documentarians. We have got to make a record. I like history. You guys know that I'm often referred to things in history. In 1965, when they marched in the Selma to Montgomery march in Alabama, Bloody Sunday took place. Now we hope that we don't have anything like that. I'm not expecting anything like that. But the point I want to make is that the photographs of what took place during the Civil Rights Movement, those photographs galvanized public opinion. And then later, when they demonstrated in Montgomery, and they turned the fire hoses and they attacked dogs, even you young people have seen those pictures, am I right? You know that there wouldn't have been a civil rights movement on the scale that it took place without those images. So tomorrow, we need to be image creators, image preservers. And we will bring shame to the city of Salinas. We're going to document the destruction of this community. If we can't stop it, then we're going to bear witness to it. And we may not stop it tomorrow, but we're going to organize ourselves so that over the long term, we build a sufficient movement so that we can restrain these guys and get, like the brother was saying, our rights, human rights, the right to housing, you know, the right not to be poor. How come there are laws that guarantee the right to a corporation to make a profit? There's laws that guarantee the rights of the upper class to make billions, but there are no laws for the economic rights of poor people. So we're looking at the long term and we're looking at the short term. And what we're building today is a movement for today and a movement for tomorrow. So I just wanted to make that an important announcement that we hope to see everyone down there tomorrow. Bring your tents. Maybe some of you brought your tents tonight.
Camp out there with us. We are.
There's camping going on out there. And let me tell you, the city has said that they will permit camping from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. anywhere in the city of Salinas on public property. There's a whole lot of public property in the city of Salinas. Some of that property is right in front of elected officials of the city of Salinas. Some of that property is right here. We're on it right here in front of City Hall. All right? So, like skillful organizers, we're going to take advantage of every opportunity that we can to make the point that we need to make. And we're bringing people in. We want to salute people here from Santa Cruz. We got Toby here from Santa Cruz. Let's give the people from Santa Cruz a round of applause.
All right, let's hear it from Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
You guys have been out there. The Freedom Sleepers have been out here, but we want them wide awake this time around. We want them wide awake and with us. And we have the students from Cal State University, Monterey Bay. I think we have people from San Jose here today. I've received messages of support from Boston, from Chicago, from New York. Picture the homeless organization in New York.
Yeah.
And we got military veterans. Is Doug here? Where is Doug? Where's Doug? Doug, why don't you tell people what you're doing? This is a very important announcement from one of our U.S. Army military veterans. Doug?
Hi, my name is Doug Dunn. I've been on a hunger fast just to forgive me, because I'm dizzy and I'm weak. It's 12 o'clock on Sunday. I've been eating no food. I've been drinking Gatorade water. If they don't stop this tonight, I'm going no water and no Gatorade. We're going to change this, guys. You are my brothers and sisters. We have Vietnam veterans down there. Who are suffering. This is the 21st century. 2016. Why do we have Vietnam veterans down there? Why is your mother, a grandmother, a daughter, a grandmother, and a two-year-old boy down there? We have a mother with two daughters down there. We have senior citizens. We have disabled people down there. When is this going to stop? It's going to stop now. Right now. We're not giving up. Thank you.
Still got a voice.
We're going to create awareness all across this state of Doug Dunn, Sergeant Dunn's commitment that he's on a hunger strike until such time as the city stops enforcing this awful, illegal, unconstitutional ordinance. So we're going to get the veterans on board. We're going to get the medical community on board. We salute Sergeant Dunn, and we hope that his hunger strike doesn't have to go too long, because we hope we can actually force the city to back off. Okay, do we have any other speakers?
Over here.
What do we got? Go ahead, brother.
Okay.
Hold it close.
All right. Hi, my name is Robert Norris. I'm from Santa Cruz. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. The real hero in Santa Cruz, though, today is a guy who's pre-streaming around, or live-streaming, I should say, Toby. Where's Toby?
Toby's got to go.
In Santa Cruz, you actually have come further here in Salinas by getting together and staying together. We don't have the right to sleep at night in Santa Cruz, like in theory you have here in Salinas. Although what you've got, you know, is the right to sleep maybe naked, separated, away from your tents if and when they disperse you. But you, through forming a union, through coming together at City Hall, you're doing something that Freedom Sleepers have been trying to do for 37 weeks. But you do it every night. And you should be proud of yourselves for being together. And we support you, at least the two of us that came over. And we're going to keep doing our attempt to get Santa Cruz to catch up with what you're doing here in Salinas. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Yeah. I'm Miriam Smith, and I just want to say that the mayor is making a big mistake by breaking up the homeless encampment, the community that has been formed here. Breaking up, it's like a family already, and these people have found safe place to go. They have found, and if they want to make it a safer place, they feel like they want to make it a safer place, I can see them working on that. They can work on that. If they feel like they want to make it a more healthier place, I can see them working on that. I can see them working on that. But they need to not break up. They're making a major mistake. They need to not break up this encampment. They need to find places for these people to go. They need to find places for them to go permanently. Not just temporary for 3 months, get them out there here. Because where do they go after that? The jungle was broken up in 2013 in San Jose, and now they realize that they have made a mistake with breaking up the jungle. And this city will realize that they have made a mistake when they scatter people all over the place, and they're in more harm and more danger, and then they're worse off. They're getting sicker and going into the hospital because they do not have a community or anything or anyone to rely on. So we really need the support of the people to know that we need to come against what the mayor is doing, and we need to get a new mayor in the city of Salinas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are a newspaper man?
Yes, Van Gresham, yeah.
I talked to you before.
Yeah.
And that's the mayor, Joe's got to go.
Joe's got to go. Joe's got to go. Joe's
gotta
go!
Is that Joe?
Yeah, Joe Gunther.
Joe's gotta go! Joe's gotta go! Joe's gotta go!
Bye bye, Joe!
Joe's gotta go!
Prophetically,
Joe's gotta go!
Van, you wanna see?
Yeah, I should.
And this is Van. Well, you know that man. Who does a homeless newspaper in Salinas.
I want to thank everyone for coming and showing their support. My name is Van Gresham. I'm representing the homeless population, also a member of the suit. And I'd also like to endorse this homeless union that we've got started. Certainly any of you that are here that haven't signed up to be abreast of the information from the union, I wholeheartedly encourage you to do so. I also... I'm a partner with the union with Voices of the Street, our little homeless magazine and newspaper from Salinas. I'd like to introduce you to Zephyr Miller. She's teaches creative writing. Certainly there's a lot of stories to tell, and we'd like to capture as many of your stories as we possibly can. I want to encourage you all to keep abreast of the paper, sign up for the union so you can be notified of any kind of events, and be abreast of all the news that happens. And so, I just want to thank everybody for being here, and thank you for your support. Thank you for the words that you say tonight, and thank you for showing support in our little camping ventures. So, thank you so very much.
Thank you, everybody.
The thing that comes to mind right now is proof about
someone else.
50 people here outside. I guess the city council meeting is starting inside, but the oral communication, I'm sure when it starts, but I'm allowing other people to know what's cooking here.
I spoke to a gentleman at the bench about 2 weeks ago. He's a father of 8 adult children. This is Jerry. Why don't you go to...
We have a man in a business suit speaking with... Who is he anyway? Sonny Barrera.
Yeah.
And what's his position?
Council member.
That's his one. Heroin. There's a lot of heroin.
Is he a good guy or a bad guy? Or is that an academic question?
How to figure out a way... I'm not sure.
Several of the people have been in recovery programs. But yet sometimes if you leave a recovery program...
You relapse.
You relapse and you get into deep
problems or feeling.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're trying to help as many people as we can. But if your own family members are telling you no dad, no mom, no grandma, don't want you... steal from you or whatever, and that's just one issue. Now there are people that really are having a difficult time with the homelessness. We need to get them out of there and be able to house them.
I agree.
So every individual is a different case.
Yes, sir. It's complicated.
It's very complicated.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry for yelling.
Okay.
Don't be sorry.
I'm a doctor.
He's on a hunger strike. You know.
No food for 3 days.
No, I understand. But remember. You're doing that for a cause that you believe in, but don't take it out on people that you assume that are not on your side. We're looking for solutions.
Oh, I'm a solution.
Because look at when we just said let's keep that warming shelter open for 1 month.
It's hard to let this guy go on.
But I've talked to individuals, they would much rather drink or get high than go through destruction.
So are you going to move to stop this destruction of the encampment tomorrow is my question.
Well, your question is valid. We have to clean it up. What we have to do is figure out a way how we could do it in a humane manner.
What?
Now,
are you interested in stopping the immediate destruction?
No. I'm not interested. We have to clean it up.
You favor the destruction of it tomorrow.
See, the word that you're using is different. So,
I'm talking about what they're going to do. That's
well,
all.
You're playing with words.
Well, tell me what you favor happening tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow we have to clean it up. It would be great if we have a team effort with social workers, mental health, code enforcement, how we can, maybe if there's people, hey, would you like to stay at the warming shelter? Would you like to stay at Dorothy's place in the meantime somehow? Or at a,
we know there's not enough resources, right? We acknowledge that.
There's never enough resources.
So therefore, what are you going to do with people who don't have the resources? You're going to just make them leave?
They won't leave.
They won't leave. So the police won't arrest them. The police won't drive them away.
We're not there to arrest anyone. We'll see what the outcome is.
Yeah, well, where are we supposed to go? I live out there. Where are we supposed to go? I don't mean to disrespect you, sir. I'm the leader for the homes. I'm the voice for the homeless. And it's unfair what you're doing. You know, where are we all supposed to go to? You're trying to take us out of Salinas. Where are we? I was raised here in Salinas. I walked the teacher Chavez. You know, yes, I do have kids. I've got grandkids. I'm disabled. I'm 68 years old.
Okay, well, hold on. Where are your kids at?
I lost my son.
Do you have any other relatives you can live with?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't have no family.
Okay, that's a question.
No, but you know what makes us mad? I don't mean to raise my voice, sir. I'm pissed and I'm annoyed at the way you guys are doing it, sir. Instead of you guys
do something
that,
about it.
It's like you guys
so that it doesn't happen tomorrow, out. Man.
No.
Otherwise, you're just talking empty air. It's hot air otherwise.
Well,
of course, we knew that to start with.
Hey, they're Hispanos, and they're against the Hispanos thinking about it and seeing their policies, how they work. It's just they're just a bunch of corrupt politicians living for another member yesterday.
Corrupt politicians? How can you say such a thing?
Oh, I know, right? I mean, they say that they're for the Hispanic community and the poor. Bullshit. It's all bull.
I'm not falling for it. That's why I freaking said, that's why I sent Fernando Armenta on his way when he came knocking at my door.
And your name is?
Tony Castillo.
And Tony, how long have you been out there speaking about these issues?
Well, my son and I went and started a homeless project about 6 weeks ago. And we go out to Chinatown and we feed the homeless. We feed about 100 to 130 people each session that we go out.
How often is that?
We try to go out Well, actually, we do go out once a week, every Saturday at 8:30 a.m. And we hand out pastries, fruit, waters, bananas, coffee, orange juice, bagels, you name it. We hand it out. We always take enough for everyone. We don't all of a sudden come short.
Did you bring some bananas today?
Actually, I did not.
And we've been talking with
Tony Castillo.
Shut it down.
And it looks like the rally is going to move inside City Hall. And so are we. And that was the scene on Tuesday afternoon, March 22nd. The afternoon of a Salinas City Council meeting where probably 24 or more people spoke during the oral communications period, where apparently in Salinas, although they only allow 2 minutes per speaker, so similar to the 2 minute limit imposed by Mayor 2 minute Matthews, as I call her, Cynthia 2 minute Matthews here in Santa Cruz. The difference is that all speakers are allowed to speak. So if there are 20 or 30 speakers, oral communications can go on for an hour or longer. And this went on for quite a period of time. There was nothing on the agenda about the Chinatown eviction or about the ordinance passed by the Salinas City Council some time back, or about the lawsuit that is still kind of percolating through the courts. It was recently turned back, at least an injunction that was sought against the city to stop them from the demolition was denied by a local judge. And the civil rights lawsuit also for I'm not too sure of the status of the civil rights lawsuit. It was turned back, lawsuit against the law, this Thou Shalt Not Have Thy Possessions on the Sidewalk Law was turned back several times. But I think there's still activity in the courts. At least I believe there was some that happened this morning on March 24th. Haven't had a report on that yet, and I hope to have a report on Sunday. Let's have a little musical relief.
Donald. understand, that was Carol Denny's The PG&E Song from her album The Cruel Lullaby. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. The show is Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides. This is a special 2 hours, almost entirely devoted to the Salinas Chinatown situation where, well, tomorrow morning, on Friday the 25th, the activists and those in the community who support them, even some politicians, are going to be out there monitoring and hopefully resisting the Chinatown destruction that is going on for the homeless folks there. As you've heard, well, what you heard was the Tuesday rally. And now, some minutes later, though there was nothing on the agenda regarding the Salinas encampment, a council member, Jose Castaneda, who you've heard speaking, I believe, on this tape, and certainly, I think it was on Sunday I played, and perhaps even last Thursday when he came to, I guess he came to Santa Cruz on Friday, and so I must have played him at the longer Bathrobes Pierce Broadside show when he and others came here to be interviewed by radio station KUSP. I may look for that archive. But plenty of audio here to consider. He and lawyer Anthony Prince stood outside after the a break in the city council meeting where previously a council member, Castaneda, had tried to get on the council agenda an emergency item which requires a special vote. It requires a finding that you are... there's an emergency that exists, and that the emergency did not exist prior to the writing of the agenda. And he couldn't get a second for his attempted emergency resolution to at least discuss, again, the Salinas Chinatown situation and try to put a pause on the demolition that was slated to begin the next day and then did indeed begin a day after, this morning, March 24th. He was rallying people outside in an unusual fashion. Council members in Santa Cruz, I've never seen do this. They may join protests. They may encourage people to come and speak at city council. But he was encouraging people to raise their voices outside city council so the city council inside could hear them. Perhaps not so much as to disrupt the council, but enough to make them feel somewhat uncomfortable. There was, in fact, as I think I may have mentioned, either on this, in this program or in a prior one, there was a warming center proposal in Salinas that was rejected or ignored by the city council until such time as people began to set up their tents at City Hall and did so for a number of nights. And after about a week of this, suddenly a warming center was opened by the city across the street, a small one and an adequate one, but a response. And I could see the people lining up for the warming center as some of the discussions took place in the area outside the city council chambers. It was right across the street. Let's hear Councilmember Castaneda, Anthony Prince, and perhaps some other activists after the speak out at city council and after city council members rejected his attempt to have a formal item placed on the agenda or at least voted upon. The chair refused to allow that. That was the mayor who refused to allow that.
Councilman Castaneda has people outside after his emergency ordinance or his emergency item has been rejected.
My home as a city council member, or everyone's home, or wherever you deem appropriate, the entire city is open. And I think we need to also support and stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters, poor, white, brown, black, you name it. Regardless if you're poor, you're part of the 8 million that live in poverty in the entire state of California. We got the Tri-County area here, Santa Cruz County, San Benito County, and Monterey County. We need to band together. The homeless union is also key to this as well. There's a lot of eyes that are watching, and tomorrow we don't know what's going to come. But I know that we can stand together. So I would expect, as I get back in there as a council member, dealing with the meaningless business that we have now, other than the other priority, which is dealing with this now, I would expect that you put the pressure. After we're done here with the short agenda, we're going to be in that room. And I expect pressure to be there as well. Whoever's got to go has got to go. And I think your voice collectively can make that happen. So I would at least ask you to reconsider what has happened historically, where people come and speak in front of the agenda for 2 minutes, given their time, and then they're dismissed, and then we go home. We can't do that. They're already, it's like a bad illness. They've taken the pill for that already. They have pharmaceutical pills for everything now. And they've taken that pill already, which they expect you to leave now. So they got through the first wave of action. I would hope that we don't do that, and that we multiply this group 3, 4, 5, 7 timefold of what the size is right now, through our social media, through our text messaging, through our direct contacts, and multiply this group until we get out of this council meeting, and then we go back into closed session, and we let it be very, very clear that we're not going to go, but someone else is going to go if we don't continue to put people's lives first. People before profit, people over profit. There's major gentrification going on here in the city, which is one of the richest in the state. There is no reason why this should be happening right now whatsoever. That's just my thoughts today.
So are you, let's make some decisions then. Are you proposing that we, like you say, even after these other meetings, whatever happens, to camp here? Is this, you were talking about...
This is Attorney Anthony Prince talking.
Property. And I'll tell you right now, I got my truck right here. I took the old camper shell off of it, and I got a lift dolly, too. And if someone needs some help getting their tent... And if someone has these steps, man, I think you're down with this plan. This will attract attention, because this is our city hall. This is public property. They cannot roust us from here, at least from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. That's the law right now. That is the current law. And it's going to be 6 p.m. pretty soon. So I'm down with that plan. And for whoever else could participate, whatever makeshift arrangement we can make, double up in tents, get some more tents, whatever we can do. That's not going to work for everybody. But like you say, it's both a necessity and it's a political protest. So is this what you're,
I'm in full agreement with everyone here. I stand in solidarity with you. Being homeless is a crime. The chief of police has said that in the past. Obviously, he has gone back on his word. The mayor, who has 32 years of law enforcement, has said that in the past, that homelessness and being poor is not a crime in the city. He's gone back on his word as well. I am poor. I hope being poor is not a crime, because if it is, then I'm a criminal. So I stand in solidarity with you guys, and I'm here to take it to the fullest extent on whatever action you guys deem appropriate. We have our other friends from Vista de la Terraza that are here. They're senior citizens. They have been working in a farm for 30-plus years as farm laborers, campesinos, and they're also in the same situation where they're going to be kicked out of their farm worker housing, all because of profits. So if we don't take a stance today, then when will we take a stance? When is appropriate?
Can I commend you for trying to put it on the agenda? Because I was here when they did put something else on the agenda.
Absolutely.
And they did not say what they stated right now.
And that's the double standard, so you know. I wanted to bring that out intentionally so you can hear it for yourself. And we need the youth. 65% of the city is youth. That's about 100,000 people out of 155,000. So we need to make sure whatever we do, we stand in solidarity with one another. But tomorrow, by 6 a.m., what Robert Norris was sharing, that's true. We have to stand and see what takes place. If not, be ready to document what's next. I'm going to get back in there right now. I hope I can hear you loud and clear. If the whole entire council has to go, or the mayor has to go, whoever has to go, I hope it's us and not the poor that have to go in this entire city. So thank you for your time.
Let me say this, though. You're proposing to stay here, and the people have to leave Chinatown by tomorrow. So I think in stand in solidarity with them that are in Chinatown tonight, some can stay here, but it's most important to stay in solidarity with them and be comrades with them there in Chinatown. And then tomorrow night, move over however many want to move over, but move over to the city hall and stay at the city hall and do like Van had mentioned in our meeting a couple of weeks ago, move all over the city and stay in front of different.
So let me just respond to that real quick, Mayor. Keep in mind that tomorrow at 7 a.m. is what's scheduled to be what they call a sweep throughout Chinatown. It's happened before. They spent twenty to $30,000 with bulldozers and cleanup crews. That's scheduled until tomorrow at 7 a.m. Right now, what's happening as we stand here is a city council meeting.
And that is a council member, Jose Castaneda, essentially along with Anthony Prince, the attorney who has brought these issues into court. Prince saying he's willing to stay at City Hall, camped out that night, in what is a legal action. Ironically, as I've mentioned before, in Salinas, it's legal to sleep or even to camp at night on public properties, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., but it's illegal to set down your property during the day under the new city council ordinance. But what's interesting here is these are politicians and attorneys who are, at least one politician and one attorney, who are helping to support and encourage a form of resistance that they're also candidly saying could become a form of civil disobedience. And indeed, this was on the 22nd of March, there was a human chain that stopped the bulldozers from coming in. And the police then came in the next day and began the demolition, and they are continuing to do it on that was today they began the demolition on the 24th, but it was stopped on the 23rd by this kind of organizing. And it just seems remarkable to me that this is being carried on in this way by individuals who are, I guess, sick and tired of the false promises and hypocrisy of the established political structure. Although you'll hear some of my more caustic comments about this on the Sunday show when I have more time and I actually have more audio to play about this. But let's hear some more from Council Members Castaneda and other activists who were essentially at that point planning exactly what to do that night, and they decided to stay outside City Hall and in the morning to move to support the Chinatown encampment there, and they were successful in driving away the police and driving away the bulldozers, at least for one day. It should be said that tomorrow, on March 25th, Friday, there is another round coming up, and for those who want to go to Salinas to be a part of that, I encourage people to, if you do that, please give a call to me at 423-4833. Let me know what your experience is. If I can assist in any way, put you in contact with some of the activists, I'll be happy to do that. And let's hear some more. The actual address of the Salinas Town area is, this is all happening at Soledad Street. 38 Soledad Street is as good an address as any to go to. And you may not be able to get in because there may be police barriers, but you can be supportive of the people who are there, and if you can, bring video equipment. This is Friday morning, I'm suggesting, and it's also probably going to be happening Saturday and Sunday morning, although I'm not sure if the demolition crews take the weekend off. For more information, give me a call at 831-423-4833.
We got to bring people and make them accountable for what is happening right now. The only time that's taking place and the only time that can happen is right now, which is right here. We're going to go ahead and stand everywhere else, but now we're out of sight and we're out of mind. And we know what to expect at 7 o'clock already. What I'm asking for is to stand here collectively with everybody and demand accountability. People run for elective office to stand on tough issues. You don't run up to an elective office to run and hide behind a public building or behind the police. Exactly. So what I'm asking for everyone here is
right now is the time, right now is the place, the people are right there, they close the doors, but you still have your voices, you still have your bodies, and we need to make sure that we make our presence felt, let it be known. We have everybody. This is a diverse group, entirely.
Okay, I agree with both of you.
This is Toby Nixon from San Jose and Santa Cruz.
And I plan to get up at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., and go over there and intercede in that with observation with the live stream. And I think we can do both.
Yeah. You have people inside. I'm going to ask for the doors to stay open right now. But we have people inside. We should have people here. We should have people in Chinatown. We should have people everywhere. And we should still be making more calls and multiply this group as big as we can. I got to get back in there and put up another argument and some other stuff.
Jose, one last question. Are you suggesting you want people only here during the council meeting or after the council meeting?
We're multiplying ourselves, Robert. We want to be here at all times.
Right now, what is your request now is
pretty much keeping the group here
during the council meeting.
During the council meeting, we're going to go into another room. I think we can hear voices loud and clear. I think that can be known. When people don't want to hear your agenda, well, I think we need to make it be known of what else can be done.
For a closed session meeting?
Right here. Closed session is going to be right there.
In this one?
In this room right there.
Right there. Right by these windows.
And this is a council member suggesting that people raise their voices outside the city council because the city council has refused to put the item on the agenda, even as they retire and their small closed group into closed session. Something I've never seen before in a politician. It probably has happened before, but I certainly haven't seen it in Santa Cruz.
Okay, so when is that going to happen? All right, so I guess what we're going to do now is they're going to break here, they're going to go into closed session, and we're going to stand right there, we're going to make a lot of noise, and our voices are going to be heard. And then if people are able to get over here tonight to camp, we're going to start 10th City right here. At the same time, like Miriam said, if people feel that to show some...
This is Attorney Anthony Prince.
In Chinatown, that's fine too. We're at the beginning of this process now. I think starting a 10th City here is going to have great significance.
I think as it grows and reformulates, sets back up again tomorrow night at 6. We'll be born and get some of the younger campers to help set up for the older, and everybody take care of each other. And we can move them here just as well as there. And as they displace them there, we can put them here.
Okay. All right, so we're going to say, Jose, when are they going to be over there?
There's one right now.
All right.
Keep in mind, we've got some other brothers and sisters standing at the shelter, so
we've got to get them over here.
That is another group of folks. Right?
Okay, well, maybe someone needs to go talk to them, get them over here.
Right here, right where the ramp is, right over there. Right there. All right, so let's get the camp over here.
And so here you see a city council protest in the process of organizing a more direct action afterward. People did disperse to set up the campground outside City Hall. I believe that as the evening grew colder and the crowd grew thinner, there was and the city council went on longer before they went into the closed session, which it happens in a nearby building in Salinas. I don't think there was the actual loud chanting outside City Hall to put people's voices outside into the ears of council members inside. But the mere suggestion and the urging that it be done, I found remarkable. The attempt to move people's campsites, which wasn't necessary on Wednesday, yesterday, because the police and the bulldozers, as I said, were driven away, didn't happen on Thursday, this morning, today, because the police walled off the area, and apparently there was insufficient either organization or numbers. I didn't get a clear sense of that from the interviews I did this morning. The group had been divided, and the police and the bulldozers moved in, but I believe there is a plan or at least a determination to raise the issue again tomorrow morning, Friday the 25th at 7 o'clock, as I mentioned. And now I'm going to play a little of the phone interview from yesterday morning, in which numerous folks spoke, and it was a victory for that day. And I found it, inspiring, reassuring, encouraging. And it was only for that day, and the demolitions did begin today. But, you be the judge.
It's about 8:30 on March 23rd, and I'm talking with Amit Pandya. Is that right, Amit?
That is correct, sir.
And I met you yesterday at Salinas City Hall when you spoke strongly and passionately against the deportations that apparently are happening, or they're trying to make happen now in Chinatown, the large encampment in Salinas. Where several hundred people have been housing themselves with no alternatives now but to try to keep on moving and facing if they put down their stuff under a new city ordinance, everything can be taken except that which they're holding. Is that accurate?
That is correct. That they can carry on their person, not a shopping cart or anything else. Only thing they can carry with themselves.
And guys with big trash cans have been moving around with the intention of confiscating the property, but apparently were driven away or resisted by people, both nonviolently and by the occasional bottle or the one bottle that got thrown. Is that accurate?
Well, the city contracted with Smith and Enright to come do the cleanup, and their process was simple. They would move down, kick the people out, whatever the people can carry, they would walk away, and the rest will be bulldozed and thrown in garbage cans.
And how much stuff would you say, because you're on the scene, and I was there yesterday, and I could say it too, but you're there, you got the eyes on the scene. Does the average person have, how many, let's say, shopping carts of possessions are in an individual tent that people are in?
Well, the people usually have between 3 and 5 shopping carts worth of stuff. This includes the tent, the mattresses, the blankets, the jackets. Some people have their pets, some have their guitars. Some have bicycles, some have acquired small mattresses, big mattresses. So over the years that city has allowed to have this happen, they have acquired a few items. But the most important ones are things such as your prescription medicine, your eyeglasses, and so on and so forth.
And this property...
4 or 5 shopping carts is a lot of stuff. And you can't take your stuff with you.
Very
true.
Tents
are gone, sleeping bags are gone, mattresses are gone, your blankets, jackets, everything is gone. It's going to be gone.
And by gone you mean they're put into these, 96-gallon trash cans, and I don't know if I got the number right.
Well, that is the beauty, isn't it? They will decide what is garbage and what is to be salvaged. And one that the cleaning company deems garbage will be thrown straight in the dump, in the bulldozers. The items they deem worthy of saving will go into a garbage can, which they will store for 90 days, at which point they'll dispose of it.
And
the irony here is the city is willing to pay money and house the belongings of the people, but is not willing to spend the money to house the people themselves.
Where are these belongings to be housed, and how large is that space?
It is going to be held on a city property on L South Street, and they will be kept in 90-gallon garbage cans, and it is there to stay.
How far away is that from Chinatown where you are now?
It is approximately 15 to 20 blocks away.
And once people pick up their property, let's say during that period of time, if they set it down again in the same place, as I understand it, and maybe if they set it down anywhere, they not only will it be
taken,
it'll simply be disposed of. It won't be stored again, right?
One second. Okay, another garbage truck and dump truck has begun to arrive.
Describe what's happening.
Well, the first group came in with intent to bulldoze and clean the place. We have a show of solidarity. We have a human wall of about 30, 35 individuals in a civil disobedience mood, refusing them to get near the homeless and raise the place clean. There were some exchanges. Smith and Enright, the company that was hired to clean up, then backed away, and apparently they're regrouping at City Hall, getting some police resources, and they'll be coming back in about 10 minutes.
You mean preparing to remove the property with force and violence is what you're suggesting?
Remove the property and the people who are blocking the property, and if that really happens, this city leadership would have lost any imagination of dignity and honor that they carry in public.
Now, I'm
when a city goes after its own people,
right,
and arrests them and throw them away for bringing the voice and redress grievances to the city council, this is not right.
Damn,
they had 30 years to solve the homeless problem, sir. They have done nothing. And just because the Forbes group is coming next week across railroad tracks, and they don't want them to see they're down and dirty, homeless, poor, and hungry people, they're bringing bulldozers to clean them up so they look good in the eyes of the national public.
So, Amit, what is the motivation for this? I mean, there have been cleanups before in Chinatown, but they've allowed people to return. Now the areas that they returned to have been fenced off, and people had to move to the sidewalks, and the pretext is getting rid of them because they're, quote, blocking the area. Though when I was there yesterday, I saw the roads, you know, people, vehicles were able to move along these roads. I don't know, I suppose huge vehicles would require people stepping out of their way because people were walking in the road. But why at this time do you think this deportation, this demolition has happened?
Well, you know, as you know, the city passed a emergency ordinance a couple of months ago, and they claimed the emergency was in health and safety nature. That entire city of Salinas and their health and safety was jeopardized, and it's an emergency situation. We're going to 15-day notice, and we're going to clean them. We have asked Mr. Prince, who had heads of the legal challenge department, we have all asked but received no answer as to why now. City has had over 30 years and three 10-year plans to deal with the homeless situation, provide them with some resources, temporary shelter, mental health, chemical addiction help, and so on and so forth, but city has done nothing. Two things changed. City started acquiring real estate and property in Chinatown area a few months ago. They have spent over $1.1 million in acquiring properties, and they continue to acquire more. Could it be that the city does not want homeless in front of their property, that they are protecting their property value? And if that is the case, this is one hell of a way to do it. Second thing is on the 30th, there is a Mr. Forbes of the Forbes magazine is coming to Salinas for a three-day expo that is an invitation-only exclusive event where all the big agricultural CEOs and bigwigs will be gathering, and that is just a block away from where this encampment is. In preparation for the summit, the streets of Old Town have been repaved and remarked and recoded, and everything is made to look good. So Forbes and his $5,000 porta potty, by the way, that was a luxury suite porta potty, they pay $5,000 each, is coming to Salinas. And they don't want those big rich people, national influence, big money guys, to see the underbelly of the real Salinas, the poor, the hungry, and the tired. Those are the only two reasons all of the people and all the leaders we keep talking, only two reasons we can come up with. There is no real health and safety emergency. Situation is not much worse than what it was 2 years ago. All 8 fire hydrants are open and accessible. I drove through here yesterday evening myself. It is not what they're claiming. And as to why a sudden sense of emergency and it has to be done, and has to be done now, that I think you would probably get a clearer answer by talking to Mayor Joe Gunther or the city attorney.
That's the famous Joe Gunther of the Guntherville. It has begun outside City Hall last night.
This is the mayor of Salinas.